You're back with The Long Lunch with Wendell Nissen on Radio Live. Are you a binge eater? I think we all are at some stages in our life. I think we all find it hard to just stop at that two squares of chocolate. And the next thing you know, I used to be able to eat a king-size bar of chocolate. Can't do it anymore. And that's not funny because that's not good. Anyway, so in our health, mind and body section today, we thought we would get nutrition and mindfulness coach Eugenia Nikiforo in here to help you out. Good afternoon, Eugenia.
Hi, Wendell.
Nice to have you in the studio. Thanks for helping us out with the binge eating. Tell me, why do most people binge eat?
Oh, there are lots of reasons. It starts usually off with dieting, with restricting. So we have this idea that certain foods are bad, right? Like chocolate and biscuits. And yeah, we even lose that language. Oh God, I was so bad last night. So the more we restrict the foods that we actually want to eat, the more appealing they become. So then after a restriction, we end up eating more than we would have eaten in the first place if we didn't restrict it. So usually it starts off with, yeah, restrictions and dieting. But there are also other reasons, like emotional reasons when we feel lonely and frustrated. It's often also a coping mechanism that we learned as children, right? If you are crying, your mom would give us a piece of chocolate, for example.
Of course, yes.
So, yeah, we kind of learn that food makes us feel good. And we use that later on when we are adults as well.
So with emotional eating, when you're eating something, it gives you comfort. Is that the thing? So it's not so much about being hungry or the type of food you're eating. It's about, explain to me how that works.
Yes, it's like you're saying, it is that comfort. It's like when I work with clients, I usually ask them, so when do you remember you had that food as a child? And usually there are these memories. Yeah, mom used to give me that certain biscuit or that certain type of chocolate. So we have those emotional attachment to that food. And when we're later on then older and feel lonely, for example, or scared, or after a long day, so we go back then to those foods that we learned to, yeah, that we're going to feel good, basically.
I guess the problem I have with that is that food is supposed to be enjoyed. I mean, you know, when you eat really beautiful food, you know, really lovely salad out of the garden and beautiful salmon, and you know, it is an instinct, isn't it, that food is enjoyable and it comforts us and we feel good eating it. So when does it turn into just not enjoying food but eating too much of it? What is that fine line?
I think it really quite often there is because of this idea that it's something is bad. So there are enough people who would have a biscuit and they don't even worry about that biscuit, right? They have just one or two and then they're done. But then there are other people who can't stop eating or eat really to the amount where they just feel sick. And that usually is because we have this idea that some certain foods are bad because we're restricting them and are not allowing ourselves to eat that.
Okay. Where do we start fixing that problem? I mean, with your clients, what's the first thing you do with them?
The first thing that what I do is stop labeling food as bad or good. Food is food and food is there for nutrition. And I also look at the underlying reasons why they, for example, binge eat or eat emotionally. What is the actual need that they're trying to fill?
Okay, so yeah. If I say to you, I'm eating too much at night because I'm, I don't know, what would a reason be? I don't
bored.
Eat too much at night. I'm bored. What do I do to replace that behaviour then?
Yeah, so what I do is I ask them, okay, if you're bored, what are other things that you can do to stimulate yourself, to enjoy? If someone is, like, let's say there is a partner, well, how about you guys have a conversation or you can maybe read a book or do some, I don't know, yoga stretches, for example, in front of TV, yeah. right? So add something else other than food, because food doesn't really give you what you actually want.
No, it doesn't, which is why you keep eating it, I guess.
Exactly.
Because you just need more and more and more.
Exactly. And if it's not what you really want, right, if you're not hungry, so how do you know when to stop if you were not hungry in the first place?
Okay, so don't label foods. So you're absolutely right. There are people who can just eat sensibly and they'll turn around and have two biscuits and that's it. And then, you know, their next meal will probably be really nice, portioned, low calorie, but not really deliberately low calorie, just because that's how they eat. I envy those people who can eat without having to label their food.
Yeah.
So why are those people okay, and why are there other people with problems? Is it really just about our parents feeding us chocolate when we're upset?
Oh, no. I'm not blaming the parents, by the way. I'm not blaming the parents. So why, as I said, it does start with some sort of restrictions, or when we feel not comfortable in our own bodies, and start maybe like some girls or boys, obviously, as well, feel like they are not good enough, they're not pretty enough, they're not as good as the pictures on social media. So they start then restricting those foods, right?
And yep. Everyone's been on a diet at some stage, haven't they? Even people who don't need to go on diets go on diets.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the people who have no problem, they obviously haven't got into the diet culture. So we've been actually talking a lot about this lately on the show, how diets don't work and you've got to get them out of the life. So I'm aware that there are some people I know who are on a diet their whole life. So every time they look at a piece of food, they know how many calories that is. They know, you know, whether it's good for them, or they label it. They eat it. They feel guilty after eating it. You know, so how does someone get out of that cycle?
As I said, I would suggest to stop labeling food as bad and good. And
how do you do that though when you've done it for your whole life?
Oh, yeah. If it took you like 20 years to get to that point, it's not gonna It's not going to change in a week's time. It will take a while, but it does. It does work. I'm talking from my own personal experience. I had an eating disorder for more than 10 years. And through work, through getting support, through getting help, we can then see food as what it is. It is nourishment, and it is also about being comfortable who we are and with the body that we have.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, then we'll come back and continue talking about trying to change the way we see food, trying to get off the diet cycle, which so many people are on. I'm talking to Eugenia Nikiforo, who has a website called mindfoodness.nz. We'll be talking further with her after the break. You're back with a long lunch with Wendell Nissen on Radio Live. It's Health, Mind and Body time. We're talking about binge eating, about getting off diets and eating, for your body, for the right way to eat. And joining me is nutrition and mindfulness coach Eugenia Nikiforo. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome back. Listen, I noticed one thing you ask all your clients is, what would be the worst thing I would find in your fridge? And I was thinking about that over the break. And, you know, the worst thing, and this is getting back to labelling foods, I would say would be chocolate and jam. Because I love both of those. But they're not necessarily bad foods. I mean, if I have jam, I have a teaspoon, and if I have chocolate, I have a couple of squares. I mean, that's okay, eh?
Yes, absolutely. And, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to say. There's nothing wrong about chocolate. There is nothing wrong about jam. It is the amounts that we're having, right? And if you have a piece of chocolate, I don't know, even daily, who cares?
Yeah,
you
right.
You enjoy it, right?
And it's dark chocolate, which is supposed to be really good for you as well.
Yeah.
I find dark chocolate gives you a better chocolate hit just quietly. I think you just get a better sense of having some chocolate rather than the milky ones. Let's talk about that. Then let's talk about portion control. One of the biggest effects on my life was when I travelled through India and you saw how they ate, and really small portions. So, you know, really small little bowls of rice and stuff for lunch. And I thought, wow, we eat so much more than we need to.
Yes, yeah. Well, now think about this. Your stomach is the same size as your fist.
Wow.
Yes. So now
Are
think
you sure? I'm sure I can eat more than that.
I know. That's why if you go to a restaurant, right, and think about how much is actually on the plate, and then think about how many fists you're having there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We do eat, we tend to eat too much, yes.
So what is a good guide for a meal? And the other thing I find is that very old-fashioned concept, which is that dinner is your biggest meal of the day, which just doesn't make sense to me because you're not doing anything after dinner unless you're going to the gym or swimming or something. But most people have their dinner, then lie down and watch TV, yeah. Whereas during the day you're active and you're out. So doesn't it make more sense to weight it the other way around?
Yeah, and I would say... Even I would say keep all meals actually equally, because if you just think about if you have too much for lunch, then at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're super, super tired, right?
True. Yep.
So just keep them really the same size. I quite like to use actually my hand as a measurement, approximately. So we all know, well, we kind of, it's kind of something that I hear all the time. So if you want to have protein, it's a palm size. Veggies, it's about your fist size. And carbohydrates, it's about a handful. And fats, about the thumb. So for a woman, you want to use one hand, and for guys, you want to have both hands, so two hands.
Why do guys get to eat more than us?
I know, it's not fair, right?
That was part of my feminist struggle. Like, I grew up in a family where all the my father and my brother always got served more than me, and I was like, damn, that's not feminist. So I started eating the same amount, which didn't really work out in the end. Yeah. But is it because they're just naturally bigger and they also have a better metabolism, I'm guessing?
They have more muscles as well.
So, oh, do
right?
they really?
Yeah.
Does producer don't. Dave really have more muscles than me? I doubt it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's quite often also what I see with clients when women move in with their guys. They start slowly adjusting their portion sizes, and then they say, well, I've gained weight since we started living. Is it because I kind of gave up and got comfortable? So, well, let's have a look at the portion sizes. And quite often it's because they eat just way too much.
Yeah, because there's two of you, so you buy two steaks. So yeah. You eat one steak each, whereas probably I should be having 2/3 of a steak and he should be having one and a third. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way. I like that. So protein is a palm size. So if you're talking about chicken or steak or anything like that, a palm. Carbs, a handful. Vegetables, a fist. I'm doing it as I'm talking to you. Can't see.
Yeah, yeah. That's and how then, I do it as well. Look at my hand, yeah.
And your fat is a thumb. And I guess that works because if you're a really enormous person, you've got big hands. And if you're a really petite person, you've got small hands. So exactly. It kind of works.
Exactly. And, of course, every meal will be a little bit different. And if you're a person who exercises a lot, yes, of course, you will eat a little bit more. So it is a guide. But at the end of the day, we need to listen to our stomach. To our body, and that's your mindful eating right there.
Well, a lot of people don't know when they're full anymore, do they?
That is the problem when you start dieting and stop listening to the hunger cues and listen or follow the rules that has been put on you by someone else. And so you eat food that has been prescribed, and then you got told you have to eat at certain times. Then you lose that connection, basically.
Because when you look at kids, I love this, kids know instinctively how much to eat.
Exactly.
When they're younger. They stop eating. Sometimes they don't want to eat a meal. Sometimes they want to eat more.
Yep.
But they instinctively know how to eat, and we train it out of them, don't we?
Mm. And I also, it's an intuition, and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say that on the radio, but it's an intuition that we get born with, the same as like going to the toilet, right? You're not thinking about, have been to the toilet twice now. Maybe I shouldn't go again. Well, no. It's the same with food. Yeah.
You're allowed to say going to the toilet on my show. We say a lot worse things here. That's fine.
Okay.
But you're absolutely right. It's a natural intuition. You need to go to the toilet. You go. You never go, oh, I'm not going to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Or it's 12 o'clock. I better go. No.
Yeah, I'll go when I feel like it.
Exactly.
Let's talk about diet food, because I know a lot of people, the minute they want to trim down or lose some weight, they start drinking the diet colas, they start getting the artificial sweeteners in. Mm. I so hate that. because I just think that there hasn't been enough studies done on them. We don't know what they do to you when they, you know, it's just, it goes so against my eating everything natural philosophy. But what do these diet foods do?
Well, the problem about diet foods is if they reduce, like let's say they'd say quite often low fat, if they reduce low fat, that means that they reduce flavor, because fat is that a main flavor that we have in food. And if they reduce it, of course they will need to add flavor. And what do they do? To still keep it cheap, they add sugar. So they quite often, the low-fat products have got more sugar in them, and you end up, yes, with less fat, but with more calories. And that creates cravings for more sugar and for more processed carbohydrates. And yeah, we end up craving food and we don't feel satisfied. So you know this feeling when you ate and you're actually full in your stomach, but you still feel like, oh, I just want something else?
Yeah.
So that's what we get with those foods as well. On the one hand, we are full, but we still have craving because our body thought, well, you're getting calories, but it's not enough. So it starts craving. You increase appetite, basically.
Yeah, we need to not do that.
No.
Okay, so your advice going forward for anyone listening is don't diet. Learn to eat the right portions, and we've been through that. Mm. Don't do the diet food. Just a question: my mother was on a different diet every week growing up. My dad never dieted, and you know. So is it still a women's problem, or are more men getting problems with their eating as well?
Men as well, even boys. So we have about 15 when it comes to eating disorders, and I look at the research, about 15 to 20% of those who have an eating disorder are boys now as well.
Wow. Mm. So we need to be aware of that with our kids too, keep an eye on that.
Yes, we need to talk about that. Yep.
Hey, listen, it's been lovely chatting to you. Now, your website is mindfoodness.nz. You've done an e-book called The Balanced Diet, The Key to End Binge Eating and Dieting for Permanent Weight Loss.
Yes.
Can we get the e-book on your website?
Yes, so there is a link to it as well, yes.
All right, listen, thank you so much for joining me. It's been great.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
That is Eugenia Nikiforo, and, of course, her website is mindfoodness.nz. And have a look at her ebook too. I hope that helped. I like the portion thing. We've got to do that. We've got to actually sit down. And just because, your partner eats more doesn't mean you have to, Wendell. It's not a competition.